This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all enjoyed your Monday. It certainly was a good Monday for the Eagles, all over the national shows, locally, everybody. Seems like the Eagles are pretty much viewed now by everyone that talks about the NFL as a legit Super Bowl contender, as they should be. I think they proved that throughout this season, but definitely in their win over Baltimore. Saquon Barkley getting MVP talk, Jalen Hurts getting a little MVP talk. It was certainly a rare good victory Monday for the Eagles, where pretty much nobody could poke any holes in that performance. So what does that mean? It means now we move on to the next game. But before doing that, let's talk about what Nick Sirianni had to say on Monday. Got a lot in today's episode. We're going to talk about what Nick had to say to the media on Monday. We're going to talk about Dallas Goedert's injury. We're going to talk about the defense. We're going to talk about Jalen Carter. And I took a deep dive into linebacker contracts around the league. So we're going to talk about what Zach Bond could make on his new contract, since he is essentially earning more and more money every single week he plays. But first, as we always do, let's talk about what to keep an eye out for today. What is on the schedule for Tuesday? The defensive coordinator, of course, will be speaking, but all the coordinators will be talking on Tuesday. Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, Michael Clay. As always, Vic Fangio will get up there and talk about how great the defense is. Kellen Moore will get up there and pretty much say nothing. And then Michael Clay, curious to hear him talk about Britton Covey, the job he did fielding the punt, something everyone on the team seems to believe was a big part of winning that game on Sunday, and then also the down punts that they were able to get. So excited to hear from the coordinators on Tuesday. Next up, let's get into the injury report. So there's three key injuries right now to keep an eye on. I guess four, actually, if you include Devontae Smith. But at this point with Devontae, it seems as if he'll probably practice in some capacity on Wednesday. My guess is he probably plays on Sunday, but I wouldn't guarantee it. You have to think that with the record they have and the fact it's a hamstring injury, they probably don't want to put Devontae back out there until he's 110%. And while you don't want to take any team or any game for granted, the Carolina Panthers are one of the worst teams in the league. I know they're playing better, but they are still one of the worst teams in the league. So we'll see about Devontae. But in terms of injuries that happened during the Ravens game, Reed Blankenship, of course, has that concussion. I don't think he will play on Sunday. But, you know, you never know. Maybe he gets out of it in time. But I'm guessing you'll see Tristan McCollum out there starting against the Panthers. Darius Slay, likely, I would guess, going to leave the concussion protocol this week, which means he will probably be back out there on Sunday against the Panthers. No more Isaiah Rodgers. I thought Rodgers played pretty well overall. Definitely, I think, helped his value. And I think if Slay were to go back down, the Eagles would still have confidence in Rodgers going out there. So finally is the Dallas Goedert situation. Dallas Goedert left the game with a knee injury. Nick Sirianni talked on Monday about Goddard, said they were still gathering information, said that they have confidence in Grant Calcaterra if Calcaterra needs to play. My read on the situation is, considering it's a knee, considering they're still gathering information, and considering, you know, Goedert did walk off pretty gingerly when he left, I just wouldn't count on seeing Dallas Goedert anytime soon. Similar to the Devontae thing where, you know, he's going to end up missing now, what is it, three games with a hamstring injury. I think they're going to be ultra cautious with Goedert. So at this point, the playoffs, I think, are the goal for when you would want to see Goedert at 100%. Could he play in one or two games before the playoffs? Yeah, probably. And I mean, maybe, I would say. But overall, I would caution Eagles fans to just say, get Goedert to 100% for the playoffs. It's a knee injury. So I don't expect him for sure out there against Carolina. I don't think he'll play against Pittsburgh. And then, you know, the next week, maybe Washington. But I truly don't think we're going to see him back like out there until right around the playoffs. So that's my read on the Goedert situation. Obviously, some more information could come out between now and by the time you listen to this. But I would not count on seeing Goedert, unfortunately, out there anytime soon. So let's get into it and what Nick Sirianni had to say on Monday talking to reporters. So to get it going, the Eagles, as they always do, released a video of Nick Sirianni talking to the players in the locker room following their game against the Ravens. So, you know, pretty regular speech from Nick, but the last 5 seconds in there, I think, are very like important and telling as to where this team is at. So I'm going to play it, and then I'll react to it because I want you guys to hear it. So here's Nick Sirianni, video and audio, courtesy of the Eagles, talking about the schedule, and then listen to how the players react at the end.
Hey, listen, you earn the right to play in games like this because of what we've been doing all year, and you'll earn the right to get more of these, all right? Really good, though. Hey, the four-minute. The backed up, all really good. We had some guys, everybody made a contribution today. We're working tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're working tomorrow.
Get to work tomorrow.
We got a lot to be thankful for. Let's pray.
So I've seen so many videos of this, right? Where the coach ends with, and I'll see you on, and then he says Wednesday, and everybody goes crazy, right? Or I'll see you on Tuesday. It's interesting that Sirianni goes, and the players go wild when the coach says that. It's interesting that Sirianni goes, I'll see you on Monday, and you hear players clap, right? It's because we got to work on Monday. And I think that, you know, we talked after the Ravens game about the identity of the team and how they're physical and all those things. But I do think an identity they've taken on, and I think they've gotten it from Jalen Hurts and Nick, but I think Jalen deserves a lot of credit, is they just love to work. Like AJ loves to work, Saquon, Devontae, like all of them. They all love to work, right? Darius Slay doesn't have the long career he has if he doesn't love to work. Jordan Mailata doesn't go from an unknown rugby player to one of the best tackles in the NFL if he doesn't love to work. So Nick Sirianni on Monday was asked about how much they work and kind of like how it's helped them. And here's what he had to say.
It seemed every day this spring or summer, players were talking about conditioning. Same thing with you, position coaches. 12 weeks in or 12 games into the season, how have you seen that materialize?
We talk a lot about playing with relentless effort. It's impossible to play with relentless effort unless you're in great physical shape. And so you see our guys fly around to the football. You see a Grant Calcaterra running to the football that can, you know, scoop up a loose ball on a fumble. You see crazy pursuit to the ball on a screenplay that they had yesterday where there's eight guys in white jerseys, excuse me, around the ball yesterday where we're able to get the stop. You see, you know, Paris Campbell and Jahan Dotson run where Saquon gets the touchdown yesterday. You know, you can't do that unless you're in great shape. And so that's been an emphasis. Our strength and conditioning coaches have done a great job of simulating things because you also got to be aware of their legs. But they've done a great job of simulating things that really, you know, get their heart rate going and put them in game-like scenarios without taxing their legs, you know, before and after practice, Wednesdays and Thursdays. And the guys do a great job of pushing themselves in that and also getting the extra work on their own, not just stuff that they do in practice or in the weight room, but the stuff they do extra to get better. And so being in great shape, again, if you want to play, and we say this a lot, if you want to play with great detail, like where your fundamentals are on and you know what to do and you're in the right spot, like, the you know, being tired creates mistakes. And so and not being in good shape creates mistakes. And if you want to play with great effort, you have to be in great shape. And I feel like, you know, we'll continue to work to be in good shape, because that's a constant quest is to make sure your bodies are ready to go and that you can run all day. But again, can't say enough for the guys of how they've pushed themselves, our strength and conditioning staff for how they've pushed them, and our coaches for how they've pushed them to get that extra work. But all the credit goes to those guys that their bodies are weighing what they're supposed to weigh, and they're where they need to be, and they're getting the extra conditioning so they can go that little extra bit to make plays early and late in the game.
I love the line in there, being tired leads to mistakes, which is funny coming from me, since I spent about a month yawning on the podcast, unable to stop it. And, you know, maybe it led to some mistakes. Maybe some of my bad takes were simply because I was yawning. But I do think it's very telling. And, you know, if you look at how this team plays late in games, they're consistently pushing the other team around when the other team, I'm not saying they're for sure tired, but they don't look as good as when they started the game. Like, there is just not very many times where you see this Eagles team play worse as the game goes on. If anything, they play better. And I think that's a lot of things. That's coaching, you know, it's physicality, it's mentality, it's all those things. But it's also just kind of simply being in shape, right? Like, Saquon looks just as fast in the fourth quarter as he does in the first quarter. Cam Jurgens, Jordan Mailata, the offensive linemen, they look just as strong and quick getting to the second level in the fourth quarter as they do the first quarter. And so for all the talk that we have about, you know, is the training camp hard enough? Are they practicing long enough? And all those things. It's pretty clear they're in great shape. And one area where you can definitely see that they are in great shape, or, you know, in some of the best shape I think we've seen an Eagles team in, is Jalen Carter. So got a chance to rewatch the game on Monday, and man, Jalen Carter, he was unbelievable. I mean, first of all, he gets doubled on literally every single play. And I know there's a whole thing on Twitter, like, he's getting held on every single play. And yes, he's held. That's what happens to great players. Great players, when they're a double team, they get held and they don't always get the call. But the impact Jalen Carter is having is unbelievable. Everyone else gets single coverage. Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Josh Sweat, they all get single blocking, I guess, for a better term, because Jalen Carter is getting doubled every single snap. And still, he makes plays. We talked about it in the Daily Pod on Monday, how his mentality, there's a one play where he sacks Lamar Jackson, and he immediately afterwards, he's in Lamar's face, and you can see him kind of talking trash to Lamar. And then later on, Lamar's talking to Jalen and he's talking right back. But Jalen Carter, for all of the off the field, you know, concerns with him in college, and we're not going to get into all that, but like, one of the other concerns was he just was out of shape. Remember the pro day video where he looked tired? Well, Jalen Carter played 99% of defensive snaps against the Ravens. He's played like 99% of the snaps over the past month. On the season, he's played 83% of the snaps. Last year, he played around 50%. I think it was 51%. So it's not possible he'll double his amount of snaps. But if we can all just be honest, like, 51% to 83% is basically doubling the amount of snaps in the NFL for a defensive tackle. It doesn't get much closer to doubling the amount of snaps you're playing than 51 to 83, especially for a defensive tackle. So Nick was asked about Jalen Carter and just, you know, his work ethic. And he was asked to compare him to different players. Good question by our good buddy Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice. But he didn't want to go down that road, but he did talk about Jalen. And here's what Nick had to say.
Last couple of years, you've had to prepare for Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, Dexter Lawrence all the time, of course. Just curious, you know, how you think Jalen Carter compares to guys of that level. And then also, just what do you think of the way he played yesterday?
Yeah, he did a lot of good things yesterday. A lot of things that we need to clean up. All of us as a team. A lot of good things we did, and a lot of things we need to clean up. And Jalen's part of that, but definitely did a lot of good things. I don't get into the comparison thing with him. And Jalen Carter's Jalen Carter, and we're happy he's on this football team, and he's playing the way he's playing, and with the effort and the toughness and the, you know, skill that he's playing with. It's different when you go and you're actually game planning against the guy, and you gotta, you know, any play that guy makes, you'll have to think about that. But we obviously don't do that with Jalen, and because we don't have to game plan against them. So I stay away from the comparison. Jalen Carter's had a really good year, had a really good game yesterday, and we're looking for him to continue to grow.
I think Jalen is already one of the best defensive players in the league. You know, I did a radio hit in Baltimore leading up to the game, and they asked about Jalen Carter. And I said there's probably only, you know, maybe 10 at most players in the NFL that can legitimately say they have it in them to be the best defensive player in the NFL. And Jalen Carter is one of the players that can say he could be the best defensive player in the NFL. If there was a redraft of every defensive player in the NFL, Jalen Carter is probably a top five pick when you take into account his age and the position he plays and the importance of that position, right? Like Fred Warner is obviously an outstanding player, and we're seeing this season the impact a linebacker can have. But Jalen Carter is younger and plays a more important position. TJ Watt, he probably goes ahead of Jalen Carter. That's one of them, right? Miles Garrett probably goes ahead of him. You know, Aiden Hutchinson, I don't know, coming off the injury, maybe he doesn't go ahead of him. But I do think that Jalen Carter this year has cemented his place as one of the best players on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL. And me and James talked about this earlier in the year when the Eagles are 2-2 after he got benched for a series against the Falcons, that he had all the talent in the world to be the guy that we've seen this season. He just had to go out and do it. And I think when you hear like players cheering about working and you see the increase in the snaps that Jalen Carter's getting, like that matters with him reaching his ceiling. This year, Jalen Carter, and you know, I'm not around him 24/7. I can't, right? But like, he seems like he grew into a professional player this year. Last year, I think the rookie year, he again got worse as the season went on, right? A lot of players on the team got worse. The whole team got worse as the season went on. This year, Jalen Carter's getting better as the season goes on. And that doesn't happen without a hard offseason of work, without working during the season, and really without being in a team, in a culture that values work. So, you know, the Eagles took a gamble on Jalen Carter when they took him, when they did. I think it was the 9th pick, if I remember correctly, in that draft. And they bet that bringing him into the culture of their team would make him into the best player he could be. And so far, like, it's proven to be an absolute home run of a pick. So speaking of home runs, John Ganod of the Eagles PR staff, shout out to John, he does a great job, put out a tweet on Monday with some stats about where the Eagles defense has been since week 6. And as much as we talked about the defense in the postgame pod and the Monday pod, they still deserve some credit and some more talking about for how outstanding they have been. So since week 6 in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles are first in defensive points allowed per game, just 13.4 points. Think about that. In a league where the rules are slanted towards the offense, the Eagles are giving up 13.4 points per game. They're first in total defense, 241.3 yards per game. They are first in yards per play, just 4.1 yards. They're first in passing defense, 148.5 yards per game. They're first in yards per pass play allowed, just 4.7. They're first in three and out percentage, 44.2%. 44.2% of the time since week 6, the offense has taken the field against the Eagles, they've gone three and out. They haven't even gotten a first down 44% of the time. First in sacks, 30. That's very noteworthy when you consider you know, the questions about the defensive line. First in sack percentage, 10.6%. First in forced fumbles, the turnover emphasis that Nick and the coaching staff has made clearly paying off. Second in passer rating allowed, just 78.1. Back seven's been unbelievable. Third and third down defense, situational football, big time downs, 31% of the time opposing offenses get a first down against the Eagles. Just 31% of the time, third in the NFL. They are fifth in rushing defense, 92.8 yards per game, fifth in takeaways with 12. That is unbelievable to put up those kind of defensive snaps. And they've played good offenses since week 6. They've played the Rams. They played the Ravens. They played Washington. I guess since week 6 would not be Joe Burrow, but they have played some really good offenses during that stretch, and they're holding them to just 13.4 points per game. And to tie this all back in, like, that doesn't happen without great players who are putting in a lot of work. Like, the Eagles' mentality and their culture as a team is to put in a lot of work. And, you know, Nick was asked on Monday as well, like, because he said asked Sunday after the game that he's boring. He only focuses on you know, post on the next game, right? He doesn't focus on anything else. But the Eagles, for as fun as they are, and they are a fun team, like, there is a boring element to just they've gotten great by working really hard. Like, that's kind of it. Like, they're talented for sure, but these talented players, Saquon, AJ, Devontae, Jalen, they didn't get to where they're at just off pure talent. Like, you have to work extremely hard. And it's clear that this Eagles team works really, really hard. They're not a finesse team. They're not, you know, a great for two quarters and fall off team. They're not a win three in a row. And, you know, like, they are a team that is great because they are a tough physical team that works really hard. And, like, at their core is just a good fundamental team. You know, me and James always joke about how if Nick was a head coach of a high school team, he probably wouldn't be as aggressive. Like, I could picture Nick being a very, like, fundamental meat and potatoes high school coach. But I think where that's important and where it's showing for in the Eagles is they are just like a fundamentally sound team. They do the simple things really, really well. And because of that, because they're not built off of like two players going pre-snap motion, you know, all these like fancy schemes, they just beat you by doing the good things, the important things really well. And it's really impressive. So outside of that, though, obviously another part of this is Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio, what he's done for the defense, the job he's done, simply outstanding. Here's Nick Sirianni talking about Vic Fangio and what he's done this year.
You know, Nick, you've had versions of Vic Fangio's scheme here. I know you had him in as a kind of a consultant for a year, but now that you have him in the building and you see and hear him how he calls plays, what difference has he brought to the defense this year?
Yeah, he has a really good feel of how to call the game. I really feel that. He's always on top of it. You know, has a good feel for what's coming. Have a good feel for how he needs to adjust, how he needs to adapt. He's obviously done a great job of leading the defense in so many aspects. And so, so happy that he's here and that he's, you know, we have one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL as our defensive coordinator. I can't say enough good things about him and what he's brought to this team and what he's brought to this defense. And ecstatic that he's our defensive coordinator and look to continue to grow as a team. I know Vic will continue to, you know, do the things he needs to do to continue to excel at his position. And I think that's what's so cool about Vic is that he's been a defensive coordinator for a long time, and sometimes, you know, and he just is always looking to grow and always looking, you know, for new trends and different things like that. So can't say enough, you know, there's a reason why he's been a good defensive coordinator for decades in this league, is because he's always growing and always getting better. And, you know, that, again, that's what we want our players to do, and he's constantly doing that, and what a great example for our players.
So Vic coming in here obviously comes in here with a great resume, right? He's 30 years in the league. He's led great defenses. But remember, his defenses of late hadn't been as good. He's effectively fired in Miami. Players talk trash about him on the way out. I mean, one, I forget who it was, said, you know, it's good to have a defensive coordinator that's a good person, implying Vic Fangio was not a good person. And it'd been a minute since he had like a great defense, right? And then early on in the year, they give up the game-winning drive. He, you know, they don't adjust to off coverage against Tampa. Like, a lot of the team had to get off to a great start. But as the defensive numbers that I just read indicate strongly, he clearly has been, if not the best defensive coordinator in the league this year, he's right up there. Like, Brian Flores of Minnesota, obviously an outstanding coordinator. But Vic Fangio has been up there as one of the best coordinators in the league. And again, we talk so much about the offensive side of the ball and the struggles they have early in games. Like, the first quarter, they can't score. But over the second, third, and fourth quarter, when the coaches adjust, they figure out what the defense is doing, they're one of the best. I think they're, in fact, the best offense in the league. It's a little similar with the defense. Against the Rams, they start a little bit slow. Against Baltimore, they let up a touchdown, a field goal in the first two drives. Over the next eight drives, they allow three total points. So as the game goes on, not only to pull it back, are they in better shape, they work harder, they're more prepared for late in the game, but I think their coordinators do a great job adjusting to what the initial looks are from the opponent. And Vic Fangio, as the game goes on, very, very rarely is outcoached or surprised by something the opposing offensive coordinator is doing. And that's why when he goes up against teams that are strictly scheme-based, like guys that have to do it with bells and whistles, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, Sean McVay, is that their offenses don't really do much against Vic Fangio, right? And if you want to throw Cliff Kingsbury in there for the Washington game. So Really impressive stuff from Vic Fangio this year, obviously. And when it comes to the defense, like even just listen to WIP on Monday, people are really, really excited to have a defense like this in the city. You know, so much, you know, I don't, there's probably people of all ages listening to this podcast. But, you know, for me, I didn't like remember the Buddy Ryan era. I remember people talking about Buddy. I remember constantly having it brought up on WIP. But there hasn't really been like, then there was the Jim Johnson defenses, obviously in the early 2000s, but I was like 14, 15 at the time. There's just a difference between having this kind of defense and when a team doesn't. And you can just feel it when people talk about the team, how much the city truly does love having a great defense. Now, the other difference is they have a great head coach as well, which they didn't when Buddy was there. And they have a great offense, which they have not had often when they've also had a great defense. The early 2000 Eagles, when they had a great defense, they had McNabb. But outside of that, they had Westbrook. Like, but they didn't have the skill players that that this team has. So, yeah, I mean, look, like I said, it was a great victory Monday for everybody involved. Another podcast talking about how great the Eagles are, but they've earned it. They're playing like the best team in the NFL. And to finally bring it full circle, they do it because they work really hard and they're in great shape. So on the other side, let's talk about something a lot of Eagles fans have been talking about pretty much every single time Zach Bond makes a play. And that is, how much will Zach Bond's contract be? So on the other side, we will dive into that. But first, a word from our sponsors. So Zach Bond obviously has been unbelievable this year. Again, rewatched the game on Monday. He's all over the field. He's getting the backfield on third downs. His ability to consistently make big plays on big downs is also really impressive. He's had third down hits, fourth down hits. He did it yesterday against Baltimore. He had a really big hit late in the game against Washington on Jaden Daniels, if I remember correctly. Like, he's been all over the field. And so when it comes to figuring out what he's going to make, it's not really easy to figure out. Like, because on one hand, he has been arguably the best linebacker in the NFL this year. Certainly top three. And if you're top three at a position in the NFL and you hit the free agency market, which Zach Bond is set to do, you're going to get paid. That's like one reality of this situation. The next thing is that although while he is one of the best players at his position in the NFL, there are components to this that makes me feel like while fans might be worried about what he'll get paid, I don't think he'll get priced out of what the Eagles' offer will be. And I feel very confident he will be an Eagle next year. So why is that? All right, let's get into what some other players around the league are making. And an important component to this, as always with any contract, more important than position in some ways, is Zach Bond's age. So Zach Bond is currently 27. He will be 28 on December 30th. So essentially next year will be, for most of it, his age 28 season. Not old, but also not young. Like, he's not 24 or 25. And he's played in the NFL for a few years, hasn't played a ton of snaps, which is something to consider, but he's 28, and he will be 28 when he becomes a free agent. So on one hand, you look at Zach Bond and you go, you know, he should get paid like one of the best linebackers in the NFL because that's what he's played like. So the biggest contract in the NFL right now from the linebacker position is Roquan Smith. He got a 5-year, $100 million deal, $45 million guaranteed. Zach Bond is not getting that. Roquan Smith was 25 when he signed it. That's 3 full years younger. And there's just no way that Zach Bond's going to get that. Because another component of the contract is this will be the one really good year Zach Bond has had. And he's had it in a system that, you know, maybe other teams don't feel they can duplicate. The talent around Zach Bond, the fact that Fangio's coaching him, all those things. So this isn't like when Saquon hits open market where it's, yeah, there's things to worry about, but we know he's a running back you can plug in. He's deeply, you know, he's very, very talented. Like, Zach Bond, there will be an element of, can he be as successful in other systems? So next up after Roquan Smith is Fred Warner. He was 24, again, like 4 years younger than Zach Bond, when he got 5 years, $94 million with $27 million guaranteed. Next up, Tremaine Edwards was 24. He got a 4-year, $72 million deal with $36 million guaranteed. Now, as always, when we talk about contracts, the important thing to look at is the guaranteed. Like, it's nice that Roquan Smith got 5 years, $100 million, and he'll probably get more than what the full guarantee is. But the real number is 5 years, $45 million guaranteed. Like, that's what he is guaranteed. Fred Warner got $27 million guaranteed. $94 million is the number that the agent puts out there and that, like, the contract holds value for, but $27 million is guaranteed. So just think about that for a second. Fred Warner, 24 years old, one of the best defensive players in football, arguably the best linebacker in football, got $27 million guaranteed. So if you think Zach Bond is getting like $18 million a year, that is not happening. If you think Zach Bond is getting more guaranteed money than a four-year younger Fred Warner, that's not happening. So the like $27 million guaranteed is way more than Zach Bond is going to get. Just put that out there, number one. In fact, there's only six linebackers in football that got over $20 million guaranteed. So realistically, Zach Bond's not going to get more than $20 million guaranteed. Now, the market price goes up, like, but he's not going to get over $20 million guaranteed. Only two linebackers, 27 years or older, got more than $17 million guaranteed. Zaire Franklin got $17 million. Caden Ellis got $10 million. So only one linebacker over 27 got more than $10 million guaranteed. So now, while you look and you go, yes, Zach Bond is one of the best linebackers in the NFL. Look how much Roquan Smith makes. He's not going to get that. He's 27. He'll be 28. Those guys just don't get as much money. Eight linebackers have an average of $10 million or more a year when it comes to their annual salary. So when we're talking about guarantees, we're probably talking around $10 million market value if you look at just the age and what players that age normally get. And then if you look at the average, only eight linebackers have an average of $10 million a year or more. So it's possible he'll get more than $10 million a year. When you're a free agent, you generally get closer to the top of the market. But only one of them is 27 years or older. So only one linebacker has that's 27 or older has an average of $10 million a year or more. And only one linebacker has over $10 million guaranteed that's 27 years older or more. So the contract itself is truly not going to be what everybody thinks. CJ Mosley was 31 when he got $13 million guaranteed. That's an outlier. That was with the Jets. They're poorly run. So it's definitely possible Zach Bond gets somewhere around that. But like, that's not something I think Howie will really entertain when the agent brings that as a comparable contract. So you add all that up. He's having an outstanding year. One of the best linebackers in football. But it's the only first year he's done it. He'll be 28 years old when he signs the contract. And here's what I think Zach Bond will get. Just an estimate. My guess is he will get a legit three-year contract. It'll maybe be 5 years with some dummy years, or maybe 3 years, but they could get out of it after 2 years. But I think three-year contract is really what he's going to get. My guess is the total value of the contract will be $25 to $28 million. Like, actual money. Is it possible that he gets 3 years, $60 million, but 25 of that is in a final dummy year? Yeah, that's possible. But I think he'll get 3 years, $25 to $28 million. So around $8 million a year. And I think he'll get $13 million guaranteed, somewhere around there. I think because of what a good year he's having, because it's a unique situation where he'll be a free agent directly after that year, and because like the price goes up, the salary cap always goes up, I think he'll get a little bit more than the $10 million. So I'm going to go 3 years, $25 to $28 million total, $8 million a year average-ish, $13 million guaranteed. I think they go high on the guaranteed money compared to other linebackers, but then a little low on the annual amount, just a little bit, $2 or $3 million less compared to that. So if that is what the market value is for Zach Bond, yes, they will pay Zach Bond that money. I think they will. He's been that good. He's a fan favorite. You don't want to break up a defense. He's been a key part of that. Like, I think Zach Bond, if that's what the contract takes, that's what the contract is that the Eagles will give him. That is my prediction. Obviously, the price could keep going up, but I think when you take into account his age and how well he's playing now, I don't know how much more it can realistically go up. He's already playing outstanding. Even if he does it for another month, like, it doesn't change the fact he's 28 or will be 28. So that's what I think Zach Bond's going to get. But bottom line, the money, all that stuff, will figure it out. Eagles fans should be happy they have him a linebacker. So that'll do it for today's pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, love you all, appreciate you all, and can't wait to keep doing this with all of you guys. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.